everybody else who's sticking around, take your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. All right, Luke chapter 10, and we're going to finish up our series, our first series of the month or of the year, which is strengthening our core. Can you believe we're at the end of January? Okay, how many feel like last week was a long time ago? Right? Yeah, a few of us. Yeah, I totally understand. We're driving to church this morning, and Rachel looks at me and goes, it's hard to believe that, you know, this week just seems like forever. And I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Feels like forever. But we began a series at the beginning of January talking about strengthening our core. That as we go into a new year, this is what I'm believing for myself, for you, for our church. I'm believing that we're going to have a great year. How many ready to have a great year? Yeah, how many of you, you like 2024, you're like, I'm glad that's behind. I'm ready for a great year. And I believe this is a year that God wants to grow us and strengthen us, take us through some things. I understand that when I say it's going to be a great year, it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be an easy year. Can I get a witness on that one? How many know great is not the same as easy? Okay, some of you, you're not too sure about that. Some of you are like going, no, I'd like an easy year. That would be great. But I want you to know that God is faithful, not just in the good times, but even through the bad times. And that even though we may go through things, that God is going to work them all together for our good. How many are excited that it may not be easy, but it's going to be a good year? Amen? It's going to be a good year. God's going to do something in our lives. And I think part of it is, how do we position ourselves to go into a new year? Like, what are the disciplines? What are the things that we need to be working on in our own lives, working them out in our lives to strengthen us and to enable us to have a year by which God can pour out blessing upon our lives? And so we've been looking at, you know, the idea of strengthening the core of who we are. That, you know, we could talk about, you know, exercise that has value, but there's something about developing the core of who we are, especially that spiritual part of us that God has made, that when we begin to strengthen that, it helps us live the life we're called to. And so we've been looking at some different disciplines and some different things that we need to strengthen in our own lives or to work on in our own lives in order that we might strengthen the core. And so we've talked about the importance of prayer. And so we began our year as a church praying, and I want you to know we continue to pray for you and with you. And we pray that we're praying that God's faithfulness would be manifest in your life, and we believe that good things come to those who pray. And so we need to be people who pray. And how many know prayer is a discipline? How many know you need to pray even when you're not feeling like it? Can I get a witness on that one? Right? You may not feel it, but you're like, oh, you know what? I need to be someone who's praying. Not only that, we need to be interacting with God's word. That if we're going to strengthen the core of who we are, we need to be a people who are in God's word, reading it, studying it, allowing God's word to transform us. I love what Paul says. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many know that if we're going to live different, we have to think different? Can I get a witness on that one? And the thing that we need to do in order to think different is actually to be thinking through and reflecting on God's word in our lives. And so not only do we need to be praying, we need to be working in God's word. Last week, one of the disciplines that we have to develop is this idea of doing life together, of connecting, of being a body. How many know that God has called us to do relationship together, to do life together, not just doing it on our own? And so we talked about growing together and that really that this idea of together is a key ingredient to growth. Now, if you were here last week, we had so much fun as we ended our service because we had opportunity not only just to kind of talk together and, you know, work through God's word, but we had opportunity to get in groups and just to pray with and for one another. How many remember that? And it was so great. And you know what I was reminded of this week is how important connection is, because how many know that in life isn't just hard, but it's also fragile? Can I get a witness on that one? And so there was a precious saint that was with us last Sunday who was a part of our group, and I had the opportunity, like after service, she was like, it was so great to be together and to celebrate and just to connect with people and to pray for one another. She was so excited about it. And so this week, Claire was promoted, and she gets to join the saints who watch. And Claire, one of the ladies in our church, been apart for the last past few months. She passed away on Wednesday or so. And it just reminds me how much we need to recognize the gift of life is and relationship. And that this is what I know about God's grace, because you go, oh my goodness, this is so hard and so terrible, and it is. Yet our faith goes beyond the moments that we're a part of. How many know that God has built us for together, not just for moments, but for eternity? And our faith is this, that not only do we have a God that is good, that rescues, redeems, and restores, how many know we have a God who reunites? And our hope is this, is even though she may not be with us this morning, and we may not have opportunity to stand around the circle and pray together, that there's going to come a time again where we get to be in the presence of our Savior, celebrating His goodness as His people. And I want to take a moment just to pray for Claire's family this morning, and because we're so grateful for the privilege of fellowship and for love. And so we just want to bow our heads and just pray over her family. Father, I just thank you so much for your grace and goodness. We thank you that you're the God of comfort and you're the God of grace. And Lord, you see everything that happens between Sundays, and you're a part of every moment. And God, even as our hearts are touched by the passing of one of our own, God, I just pray that your comfort and grace would be manifest. Father, I pray for Claire's family. Lord, for her brother and sisters. Lord, I pray that you would comfort them, that you would surround them and watch over them. Father, for her friends, the people who have been so dear to her. Lord, not just outside this community, this church, but also within it. And Father, I just pray your grace upon them. And Father, as we walk through seasons of loss, Lord, I pray that we would continue to find our strength in you. And God, we thank you that not only do you rescue, redeem, and restore, but God, you reunite. And God, we look forward to that time of reunion where we get to worship together. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I think, and the reason I share that is because this whole idea of how do we grow is we actually have to be intentional about these things. We have to be intentional about prayer, about God's word, about fellowship. Because this is what we've been created for. And this morning, I want to think about a last discipline to work on. And as we go into what will be a great year. And before I get into what that discipline is, let me ask you a question. How many of you want to have a life that makes a difference? A life that has impact. A life that leaves a mark, a life that recognizes, you know what, I've gone through this life and I have left a mark, I have done something. And I'm convinced that everybody wants to live a life of significance. And this is the reason for this is because it's something that God has put in us. Did you know that you may have surprised your mom and dad, you didn't surprise God? Can I get a witness on that one? Right? That He made us not only with purpose, but for purpose. And that as we embrace that purpose in our lives, we begin to get that sense, this is what I was created for, because we were created for deep meaning and purpose and to have an impact with our lives. And as we think about a great year, we're connecting with God, we're connecting with others, but we're also connecting with our purpose. Look at your neighbor and tell them this morning, you got purpose. All right? How many know you can go through rough things and you still got purpose? Can I get a witness on this one? Right? God has something for you. And as I think about how is it that we make a mark in this world, there's actually something we have to cultivate in our lives, and that is the discipline of generosity. That how do you make a difference with your life is you actually have to learn to live generous. What is generosity? Generosity is simply love in action. That is actually the outflowing of our love. So generosity, and you know, I think about grace, that grace is are the gifts, like grace is, grace are. Like grace is the gifts that flow from love. How many know that God's grace to us is amazing? And His grace meets us and it's a gift to us and it's a blessing. And did you know that the heart of God is, right at the heart of the center of the heart of God is generosity. For God so loved the world, he gave. And it's through this giving that we actually make a mark upon our world. Now, as we think about generosity, I know whenever you come to church and a generosity message shows up, a lot of people get a little tense on this one. Now, I just want to kind of like just, I want everybody to breathe easy. Everybody take a good breath in. Let it out. I am not, this is not a message to guilt, to condemn, or even to cajole. That's a good word, cajole. I haven't used it lately, so that's a good one. It's my word of the year. I'm just kidding. What does it mean? Cajole means to force out of someone or to, like, you know, look it up in Google. No, I'm just kidding. Have like a definition. I know what, I can see what it is. It's when you're like trying to like pull something out of someone, right? Okay, so as we deal with it, I want to begin with a biblical passage that gives us a principle, that gives us a practice and a promise, and I'm going to go through that really fast to kind of set up for what I'm going to share from Luke chapter 10. And this is actually found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. And this is what the Apostle Paul says as he writes to the Corinthian church. He says this, remember this, everyone who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, just so you know, this is the principle that Paul is saying, hey guys, just understand as followers of God, the type of world we live in is that when we're generous, when we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. When we sow generously, we reap generously. And so he's just saying, hey, just understand this is the world you live in. This is a principle by which your life needs to be governed. And so the whole idea of generosity is, you know what? We all have the opportunity to be generous. And then he goes from the principle to a practice. And so his practice is simply this. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, cajoled, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I love this because this is his practice. He says, hey, you know what? You need to decide in your heart what to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. This is like the generosity spirit that I believe God wants to be a part of our lives can't be something that is forced upon us or imposed. How many know that generosity has to be chosen for it to be generosity? How many know nobody is generous because they pay their taxes? Can I get a witness on that one? Like, you know, like, you should see how generous I am. You should see the taxes that I pay. Because paying taxes isn't generous because how many know if you don't do it, it's not going to be good for you, right? And so it's compelled. But generosity can't be compelled. It actually has to be something you choose. And so the practice is simply this, is you get to be the one who decides for you how generous you're going to be. And so even as I get ready to share this morning about generosity, I'm just trying to help stimulate you to think or to help you begin to think about this idea of generosity because there's a life that God wants us to experience and there's this piece that the impact that we have upon our world is connected to our generosity. And so we have to figure out, okay, so how generous am I going to be? Now, just to go on, because I said Paul has a principle, he has a practice, and then he has a promise. And this is the promise that he connects with this. And he says this, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Generosity, like part of this idea of generosity, and this is the promise, is that God longs to pour blessing to you so that blessing may flow through you. His promise to us is that he wants to bless us abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. And so as we get ready to talk a little bit about generosity, just kind of keep that frame in mind that there's a principle. We live in a sowing and reaping kind of world. Not only that, that we get to choose how generous we're going to be and that God wants to help us, that he longs to pour blessing in us so that it may flow through us. Okay, so brings me to my big idea. You ready for my big idea? Our world is impacted by what we give. It's just very simple. This is the thing that you need to understand that as you move away from this place today, as you go into another week, Just be aware that our world is impacted by what we give. And I want to look at an amazing story. It's a parable that Jesus told. And we find it in Luke chapter 10. And the setup to it is quite simple, that Jesus was confronted by a teacher of the law who was asking this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus said, what do you think? And so the teacher of the law appealed to the law and said, hey, the way I understand it is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How many have ever heard those two things before? These are the great commandments. How many know that God has called us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And he's also called us to love our neighbor as ourselves. It goes on to say that this gentleman, he's like going, okay, well, who's my neighbor? Because how many know if you have to love your neighbor, it's helpful to know who your neighbor is, right? That's what he's thinking. And what's so fun about this is so he asks Jesus the question, well, who is my neighbor? And the thing that I love about Jesus is that Jesus doesn't always answer the question like we asked it. And so the way Jesus responds to this question, who is my neighbor? He just totally dispenses with that. And he says, actually, the question you really need to wrestle with is this. How do you love your neighbor? How is it that you're to love your neighbor? And so I want to kind of walk through the story. I want to note three quick things, and then we'll get to some application points. And so the first is this. So let me read from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 30. And it says this. And Jesus replied, saying, and again, this is his response, Jesus' response to the question, who is my neighbor? Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite. And when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. Now, many of you, you're familiar with the story, and you know where Jesus is going next. But before we hurry on to that part of the story, one of the things that I want us to understand is that Jesus does not want us, his children, his followers, to be indifferent to the brokenness of the world that is around us. Like, Jesus does not want us to be indifferent to the brokenness of the world around us. How many know we live in a broken world? Right? Like, there's brokenness, and we all can affirm life is hard. Can I get a witness on that one? How many have little kids come up, it's not fair? And you're like going, yeah, well, get used to it. Life is hard, right? Life is hard. And not only is it hard, how many know sometimes life is brutal? Like, sometimes it's hard, but life can also be brutal. So we recognize from understanding Scripture that the world that we live in is broken because of sin. That sin's entrance into the world has created has influenced the space in such a way that there is hurt and pain that comes just by going through life. But it's also sometimes marked by brutality. And this is what we see in this story. It's not just that life was hard. We have a man who's just going about his business. He was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was traveling on a well-known road that was 17 miles long. That as he would go down from Jerusalem down to Jericho, he would end up going down a little over 3,000 feet in elevation. It was a windy path. It was a path that had large boulders and rocks where people could hide. And many times as people would come from the city or to the city, bandits would jump out. And so this is something people in Jesus' day were very familiar with. And on this occasion, as he shares this story, as one person is going down in the midst of the hard world that he's a part of, he encounters something brutal where he is attacked, stripped, beaten, and left for dead. And you could just imagine the heart of God, even in the midst of all of this, that God, as he looks down upon his creation, even though he recognizes that life is hard and sometimes brutal, his heart is not indifferent to the pain and the hurt that happens all around us. Even though his creation has rebelled against him, and not only that, they have ravaged one another, he cares so deeply for what it is that humanity goes through that he himself took humanity upon himself and came to meet us. That God is not indifferent to the brokenness of the world around us. This is why he stepped into humanity to rescue, redeem, and restore. Yet as we look at this story is not just about brokenness, but again about this idea of indifference. Because as this man who was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, all of a sudden he is, you know, he's attacked, stripped, beaten, and left for dead. And two people that would be connected with the temple, the place of worship of God, the ones who would align themselves with the covenant, they saw the man and they passed by on the other side. Jesus is telling the story because he knows something about the human heart. How many know that there's sometimes a thing about the human heart? That sometimes in our lives we can get so caught up in our own lives and our own stuff that we're going through that sometimes we begin to ignore the brokenness that is around us. That we get caught up in our way, doing our things, that you know, there's our wants, our desires, our dreams, our ambitions, and sometimes in our pursuit of them, we become indifferent to the hurt and pain of people around us. And as Jesus is telling the story, you need to understand that the heartbeat of God is behind this, and this is part of this whole idea of what it means to love a neighbor. It requires us not being indifferent to the brokenness of the world around us. That God has actually called us and created us and placed us, even though we may be in a broken world, to be a way by which his grace and love intervenes in the difficult moments. As he goes on to tell the story, he brings in a third character. We have a Levite. We not only have a priest, and a Levite, but then he goes to talk about a Samaritan. Now, just so you know, in Jesus' day, the hero of the story is going to be one who's totally unexpected, a Samaritan. Jesus is speaking to an audience who have a deep prejudice and an ancient rivalry against the Samaritans. Yet the Samaritan becomes the example of what generosity looks like. Jesus continues to tell the story that a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So as Jesus tells the story about the Samaritan, he becomes for us an example of what generosity looks like. He saw the man in his brokenness, and it says he took pity on him. And that word pity is the same idea of compassion. And compassion, to properly understand compassion, is more than just having that feeling of seeing something that is just terrible. Have you ever had that visceral feeling where you see something broken or wrecked and it just kind of like does that right on the inside? Like, you know, so I got issues. How many know pastor has issues? Okay, a few of us, good. And if just so you know, if you don't know it, I got a few issues, but watching ski videos are lots of fun when they yard sale. Do you know what a yard sale is when you're skiing? It's when you wipe out and then the pole goes this way and this way and a ski goes this way and sometimes a hat goes flying and gloves, and then it's just wreck. It's a yard sale, right? So I have moments because I love skiing every once in a while, but there are moments you'll watch it and you'll watch someone hit a jump or something, and then they'll like hit a tree, or they'll like, and you just go, ooh, ooh. How many of you have ever had that moment, right? You watch it in sports, you know, you're just like, ooh, ooh, right? And there's that visceral feeling that causes you to cringe even though you're not experiencing it. Does that make sense? Just so you know, that's not compassion. Just because you feel something with someone doesn't make you compassionate. In the Bible, the idea of compassion is you feel it, and that feeling compels you to do something about it. Compassion, again, is love in action. It's the word that is used to describe Jesus on many occasions. When he sees the crowd, when he sees people in need, when he confronts or when he encounters the broken. And more than just feeling bad, he's like, I got to do something. And this is the idea, I believe, behind generosity. Generosity is the action that accompanies compassion. That if we're going to be a generous people, then you know what? We need to allow our hearts to be moved, and that the movement of our heart moves us to do things. And so if you read this passage, you'll find out that the Samaritan, as he sees the broken man, the one who was stripped and beaten and left for dead, and it says this, he went to him. He bandaged his wounds. He put him on his own donkey. He brought him to an inn. He took care of him. You see, generous people are moved by compassion. They get involved. They choose to act. And I believe that one of the things that we need to do, if we're going to strengthen our core, if we're going to experience the purpose God has for our lives, we actually have to not only allow our hearts to be moved, but we also have to move as a result of that which we're experiencing in our hearts. Generous people act. And this generosity is the recognition that there is a grace that has been given to us. And as we see people in need, we recognize there's a grace that we've received and there's a grace that God longs to pour out to people through us. And this to me is an idea that I think we have to allow to sink deep in our spirits, is that as God pours grace into you, he's pouring grace into you because there's a grace he longs to pour through you. You see, the compassion in us is evidenced by the grace that begins to flow through us. And so generosity compels us not only to feel, but to act. And then the last thing I want to note is in verse 35, is that generosity also empowers others to help make a difference. That what generosity does is it empowers others to help make a difference. So the story isn't just about what the Samaritan did. But watch who he empowers. And so it says this, the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So here's an idea about generosity. Generosity is also about empowering others to do what we cannot. Okay, so the Samaritan is going from Jerusalem down to Jericho because he had a purpose. He wasn't just wandering aimlessly looking for hurt people to help. He was going about his business, and as he was doing, he came across this and said, oh my goodness, I have to stop and I have to respond immediately. But then he was like, but wait, I still have this thing that I need to get to. There's still a need that's here, and so what he chose to do was to empower someone else to do what he wasn't able to continue to do. You see, generosity always looks for partners to help fulfill the purpose. And so what he does, he not only has done all this bandaging and moving and transporting and caring for, but then he takes out 2 denarii and gives them to the innkeeper. Now, how many of you in your wallet, purse, wherever you hide your money, how many of you got your denarii? You know, you got your little denarii coin. Okay, which makes no sense to us, right? So just so you know, how much is a denarii? A denarii is equivalent to one day's wage in Jesus' time. And so when he gave him 2, just note a couple things. Number one, the guy's walking around with a lot of capital in his pocket. If he can just give that away during Jesus' day, that's actually something of worth. He would have been a victim himself, but you know. So anyways, he had the stuff in his pocket, and so he had wealth. But not only that, in Jesus' day, do you know how many days you could stay at an inn with 2 denarii? For more than 2 weeks. How many would love it if one day's pay would allow you to stay more than a week at a hotel? You're like going, dude, how many would take a few more vacations? Like, oh my goodness, you're like right now, it's like 3 days wage for one night at the Holiday Inn, right? Something like that. You're like going, oh my goodness, but in Jesus' day, two denarii would help enable somebody to stay at an inn for more than 2 weeks. And then additionally, he says, hey, and when I come back through, if there are more expenses that these don't cover, I got that. And I love this because what generosity does, because I believe God's calling us to be a generous people, to make a difference in our world. There's an act we need to do, but sometimes we need to look for partners to help fulfill the purpose. You see, giving, generosity, empowers others to accomplish what we can't. Again, how do we make our mark in the world? Our world is impacted by what we give, by our generosity. And I've come to know this. How many know that being generous is a spiritual discipline? It's actually something we actually have to develop a discipline around, something that we have to be intentional about. It's important that we're praying, that we're reading God's word, that we're connecting with God's people. But we have to choose in our lives to be generous, where we involve ourselves and we empower others in order that the mission and grace of God might touch hearts and lives. So, how do we impact our world? And with this, I'll close. The worship team, you can come up just to make me close faster. Can I get an amen on that one? There's a Bills game. Come on now. I'm just kidding. What time does the Bills game start? 6:30. Oh, 6:30? Oh, good Lord. No, you guys, go sit back down. Go sit back down. No, it's fine. Sorry, I got all this fun stuff. All right, how do we impact our world? Let me just tell you, this is what I believe. I believe that God wants to fill our year with great things. For us to experience great things, we actually have to choose to be difference makers. Like, we actually have to choose, you know what, with my life, I'm going to be the kind of person that is going to make a difference in my world. That I'm going to live in such a way that I leave a mark. For that to happen, you know what you and I need? We need the compassion of God to fill our hearts for others. See, sometimes in our world, we get a little desensitized because we live in a broken world. Sometimes we become desensitized to the hurts and brokenness of the people around us. I want you to know that our God is not indifferent to the brokenness that he sees. And part of his solution, part of his answer to the broken world issue is you and me. And so will we choose to be difference makers? Because if we're going to make a difference, then we actually have to choose to be generous. How many know nobody's too poor to give? Come on now. It's true. How many know generosity has actually nothing to do with dollars and cents? It has everything to do with heart. It always has to do with what do we have available. And for us to make a difference in our world, we actually have to choose to make a difference. And that requires us to do the next thing, which is to get involved. To serve other people. I've said this before, I'll say it again. You are the answer to some of the prayers the people around you are praying. Like, you're the answer. They're like going, God, I need help. And just so you know, do you know where God abides? In our hearts. Like, when you put your faith in Christ Jesus, when you choose to follow him with your life, it tells us that his presence takes up residence within us. And that means wherever we go, we bring his presence. And God goes, you know what? I want my presence to touch this situation. And so he uses you and me. And so we have to choose to make a difference. Not only do we need to choose, we need to get involved. Can I just challenge everybody? You want to make your year a better year? Get involved. Would you? I want to challenge you. Find a place to serve within the church and within the community. You're like, I don't have time for that. make time. See, because this whole idea is listen, generous people are not indifferent. They say, okay, you know what? I'll find a way to help. And we need to be responsive to the needs around us. Let me tell you about two ministries we're going to fire up again in greater ways in 2025. Ready for it? Prayer team and a care team. So we got other teams. We got a missions team that's kind of working on some stuff. We got youth and kids. We got a variety of stuff. There are lots of ways to serve at Asbury Church. I'll tell you the two that we're working on developing and growing is our prayer team and our care team. We had a great beginning of the year as we prayed and we got cards from everybody. And I want you to know we've been praying for you. And I know some people, their heart was so moved with the opportunity to pray. They're like, I love this. We need to keep doing this. We're like, we're going to keep doing this. And so we recognize we need people to be praying for one another. But not only praying, we need caring. So as a church, there are people that go through ups and downs and difficulty, and we need to continue to come alongside them. This is what I know about Asbury Church. This is a generous church. And we come alongside needs of people all the time, which is great. And we help people with meals, and we help people with a whole bunch of different things. And we kind of want to build a team around this. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be setting up some time so that we can, if you're like going, I'd love to be a part of the prayer team, that we can meet together and do that. We're going to say we're going to have a care team. If you're like, hey, I'd love to be a part of that, we'll give you opportunity to be a part of it. Just because we recognize we need to be the kind of church that is serving the people around us. And if we're going to make a difference, then we actually have to serve. We need to get involved. The third thing that if we're going to have a great year, part of the way that we impact our world is not only choosing to be a difference maker and getting involved, but I think we also have to commit ourselves to be kingdom builders. Where it becomes more than just building our kingdom. We find people that we can partner with in order that we might find partners who can do for others what we can't do ourselves. So as a church, we believe that God has called us to be a kingdom-building church. And so when we do offering, we not only receive tithes and, you know, the people's tithes, but we challenge people to be kingdom builders, to give above and beyond their tithe. And my challenge to you, we did this last week. We handed out a bunch of these faith promises. I remember some of these. You're like, no, I forgot that part. We have cards. You're like going, no? Hey, Patrick, can you pass some of these around for me? You're amazing. Remember, I challenged every family to sit and say, okay, what can we do to be a family that's helping build the kingdom? So as a church, we believe in the importance of partnering people to do things we can't. And so we partner with people locally, and we have a list of all sorts of ministries, whether it's, you know, doing Thanksgiving baskets, Ithaca Pregnancy Center, partnering with a local Christian school, doing outreach. We try and serve the people in our immediate area, even through benevolence. But not only do we connect locally, we also are connecting with people globally, where we are giving to missionaries and ministries that serve people throughout the United States and around the world. And over the, you know, each month, we're going to be sharing different areas that we as a church are trying to build the kingdom. And we support people not just here but all around the world in places. No, I'm out. So just give out those, and if we need more, we'll get more. But we think it's so important. And for us to continue to do this and investing in the next generation of leaders. For us to continue to do this or to take it to the next level, we need God's people to continue to step up. And my prayer, let me tell you my prayer, my goal, my hope, the thing that I'm hoping we do as a church is that over the next year through 2025, that we as a church give above and beyond our tithes $30,000 to help build the kingdom. And my prayer or my challenge to you is, will you partner with us as we partner with others to do things we can't? And I want to challenge you to you know, as an individual or as a family, to determine a weekly or monthly amount above and beyond your tithe and offering to commit to building the kingdom. And we have to develop the discipline of generosity So how do we impact our world? Choose to be a difference maker, get involved, be a kingdom builder. If I challenge you, fill out your little card, you can place it on one of the back tables on the way out. But would you make a determined decision about how you are going to build the kingdom with us as a church? The last thing I would just note as we close is may we just live generously. So Jesus looks at his followers and he says this, freely you have received, freely give. How many of you are good enough for God's grace? How many of you deserve God's goodness upon your life? I'm like going, good Lord, no, not me. How many of you got some history that you're not proud of? And sometimes you're like, oh my goodness, this totally disqualifies me. Aren't you grateful that we don't have to work hard to measure up for God's love? That he loves us and he freely pours out grace upon our lives. And he's like, hey guys, listen, freely you have received. There were like no strings attached. You didn't have to do this, this, and this in order for God to love you. God says, listen, I love you and I want my best to flow to you. And he says, hey, as you freely received, why don't you just begin to freely give? Because I go back to just our simple idea this morning, which is simply this, our world is impacted by what we give. And if we're going to strengthen our core, if we're going to live the life that God's calling us to, we need to choose to be generous. John Wesley said this, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Just be the kind of person that is generous. So as we begin this year of strengthening our core, may we be a people who pray, a people who interact with God's word, who connect with others, and a people who live generously. I believe that as we develop these core capacities, these core strengths in our lives, it's going to help us experience a better year than we imagine. Again, it may not always be an easy year, but it will be a year marked by his good. Let's all stand. Lord, I thank you that you have amazing things in store for us. And God, I thank you that you are calling us to be a generous people. Lord, not under compulsion, not reluctantly, but God, we get to be a part of what you want to do in our world. And so, God, we open our hearts to you. God, would you use us? God, would you grant us compassion? Lord, not just to feel for the people who are broken around us, but God, would you move us to action, to serve, to give. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your kindness to us. And God, we just yield ourselves to you that we might have a great year filled with your mercy and your love. Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many would just simply say, you know what? God, do in me what you need to so that I might have the year you desire, that I might have a great year full of your grace. If that's you, would just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Lord, you see these hands and you see these hearts. God, I speak your blessing, your kindness, your mercy over them. Lord, I thank you that your desire is to fill our lives with your grace. Lord, may we be a people who pray, who wrestle and work and interact with your word. May we be a people who connect in community, doing life together. And God, would you help us live generously for your glory and your honor, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
so take my life, I lay it down at the cross where I am found, and all I have I give to you, my God. And take my hands and make make them clean. Oh, keep my heart in purity, that I may walk in all you have for me. Ooh, here I stand, arms open wide.
Let's lift our hands to Him.
Oh, here I stand, arms open wide. Oh, I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, Jesus.
Lord, here we are. Lord, use us for your glory. Lord, I thank you for what you're working in our lives. May you be glorified in and through our lives. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. And God, we continue to look to you and believe you for great things. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, I want you to know we love you. And we're believing with you that together we're going to have a great year. Amen. Amen. As you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, give you peace, hug a few necks on the way out, and have a great week in him. We'll see you all soon. God bless.